Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Thursday. We're going to talk some USC Trojan football, lots of off-season news now that the Pac-12 college football season, most of the college football season, is over for 2021. Now looking forward to 2022, and we're going to do that with Keely Yore. Follow her on Twitter, at Keely is my name. She's in studio with me. A lot of weird stuff going on around out there. Hopefully your voice holds up, Keely.
Hello, hello. I'm doing, you didn't ask me how I'm doing, but I'm doing okay, Ryan. I was just on autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
First podcast of the year for me. If you can't tell, I'm a little sick. I was very sick.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I can make it through this podcast without losing my voice again.
Yeah, which is weird for you. You're usually never sick. So
okay. This was the first time I was like actually sick in like 2 years, which
is
crazy.
Funny. Yeah, because like people like wearing masks or not going outside as much.
I was just never sick because I was just taking all the precautions. And then boom, Christmas
and then it happened. Yeah, I got like a little before Christmas, I got sick too. But hopefully, luckily, been testing, no Omicron, whatever stuff.
Yeah, I tested negative. I think this was just a good old flu, which is weird.
Yeah, but it's been going around. Yeah. Do you do flu shots or no?
I was going to, but apparently you can't get it when you get your booster. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Yeah,
I should probably get a flu shot, though, considering my immune system.
True. I got one like back in October, but I don't know. Just give me all the shots. Just shoot me up with anything.
Polar opposites of the spectrum. You're like invincible and I'm not.
I'm not invincible. I would get sick fairly often, but I haven't really much during the pandemic, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I
guess even though you're licking sidewalks left and right.
Yeah, I'm at this point. I'll do whatever. But luckily, I haven't been exposed there. I know we got off track already, but it's good to be back for the first Ryan and Keely pod of the new year.
I know someone on Tunnel Vision last year asked, I think it was Mark Watkins, is the Keely and Ryan show still a thing? It is. We just had some different shows and whatnot.
We had some different shows, and there's a lot of stuff going on, but I think we'll get back to a regular routine. It's been crazy. There's been a whole bunch of stuff going on. But we appreciate you guys sticking through and listening. The numbers have been through the roof, which is great. A lot of people are excited about, you know, this Lincoln Riley guy that's coming in. So.
I mean, we had over a million downloads in 2021. So thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast.
Insane.
Just insane.
That's a lot of downloads. Yeah. Gee, I didn't even think about that. That's a lot.
Yeah, no, that's a ton. And like most of that was under Clay Helton. So thank you guys.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
We do appreciate it. We haven't done a Tunnel Vision for a little while. So we like right before Christmas, like Brandon.
Yeah, we had Brandon Sosna on the show.
Yeah.
That was our last one of 2021.
So we'll have to do some more of those, but appreciate all that. And if you have any questions or comments for this show, we'll try to keep that more consistent. You can drop us an email, podcast@uscfootball.com, or call or text us at 424-254-9141. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app, we always appreciate leaving us a 5-star rating. You can follow the show, so it'll let you know whenever you get an updated episode comes up. It'll tell you right on your phone there, hey, we got a new Peristyle podcast. So it's really cool. That's what I use to listen to my podcast. Now that I'm an iPhone guy. It does help.
Thank goodness you are.
It does help.
Blue texter.
Easier to text with you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I can make reactions and laugh at you. It's
especially
great.
Even like at games, like just the whole like AirDrop thing is very
beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we were trying to tell you that for years, but
I know. Shotgun still didn't buy. He hasn't bought in, right?
Shotgun being stubborn? Oh, my goodness.
That is very strange of Shotgun. okay, yeah. But please leave us a review on 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It does help. That's how we got to over a million downloads this year. So, or last year. So amazing.
Yeah.
So let's double that this year or whatever. But we do appreciate all that kind of stuff. We got to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's, who we just had a meeting with, virtual meeting, up and up for another year, so they'll be with us again. And
thank you, Trader Joe's.
They are so awesome, and it was
great. Love them.
Yeah, like the high ups at Trader Joe's, like the president, the CEO, like they listen. They know what we're doing,
so
which
cool.
is crazy.
They're great people. And Stock Neutral Nation. They're part of Stock Neutral
they
Nation.
They do like Stock Neutral Nation. Well, at least we know one is.
I'm not sure.
Well,
I'll loop in everybody for that.
We have the president, Stock Neutral Nation. I don't know about the CEO. We'll find out.
I think we can convince him.
I'm sure he would be into it. Shotgun's not going to like that. But yeah, so really happy to be partnered with Trader Joe's again for another year. They really have been so awesome for us, and it's great for me. Like, I just go, you know, I'm in there like once a week or so buying stuff. And I was telling them, like, I had like a show before I did the podcast with Champions, and we had this show, but I had the meeting with Trader Joe's on Zoom, and I had in the fridge here in the studio, I had some orange chicken and a jasmine rice that I got from Trader Joe's made last night. And they're like, did you get the bowl? I'm like, no, man, I made the whole pack. Like, it's like so cool. I just love going to the frozen food section and picking up stuff. And especially you're like cooking for one, it's real easy. Like, yeah. I made it, you know, you put it in the oven for, I think it was 18 minutes. And there's a sauce that comes with it, which is great. And then those little frozen jasmine rice packets, you just put in the microwave for 3 minutes.
So easy.
Boom. And so I put a bowl, rice,
boom,
orange chicken on top. It's like awesome. And that's why I just brought a bowl of that and microwaved it.
Easy peasy.
It is easy
and
peasy.
And delicious.
I did the, and I haven't tried this one too. I don't know if you've done the mac and cheese bites in the frozen section too.
No, Ryan, I'm gluten free.
Oh, yeah, yeah, crap. You can't do that.
But it sounds delicious.
It is very good. And yeah, I had a little, my neighbor gave me some homemade sauce. And so I dipped them in the package. They show you, like, hey, dip these in the sauce. So I dipped them in the sauce.
Nice.
They were very good.
Yeah, nice.
Mac and cheese balls.
Mac and cheese, I like that balls. Stuff.
But thanks again to Trader Joe's for that. And, of course, USCfootball.com, all kinds of stuff going on.
A lot.
First month for $1. Let's keep going on so you can do that. Or if you want to sign up for an annual membership, you can get 30% off right now. So we've had, memberships have gone way, way up. We really appreciate all that. Helps to grow the site. We can, do more stuff, do more podcasts, do more shows, have more fun stuff.
Plus the board is popping.
Oh my God, the board.
It's crazy.
The one thread that Chris Trevino started with the updates.
So he has an article and a thread listing all the updates for the coaching staff. Passed 1 million views.
On one thread.
On one thread.
Yeah, it's insane.
It has to be a record.
Speaking of
a million, we're just millions.
We got millions all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's, we appreciate it. We've been doing this work for years, and there's people obviously following, listening, and reading and stuff, but not. There's just so many people that are sort of tuned out, and it seems like most of those people are back now, or a lot of them are.
Which is really cool.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We've been here working the whole time. I know you haven't been around, or some of you haven't been around.
Some of them have, and shouts to them. We love you guys. So
yes.
Thanks for sticking around.
Sticking through the 7 tough years or so,
yeah,
or more.
Yeah.
Pretty much since you got started, right? Like, no, what year?
Yeah. No, I started Sark's first year.
So okay.
The spring that Sark started.
First of his 1.5 years.
The spring that Sark started, I started as well. I was a freshman in college.
You started at USC as a sophomore, right? Or no?
No, I started as a freshman. I was spring admit.
Oh, you're spring? Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So I did it at Annenberg, and then you slid into my DMs.
I've seen you grow up.
You have, which is weird. We're old, Ryan.
You're not old. I'm old.
Like, she's old.
It's really weird. Go back through old emails and stuff. It's like crazy. All right. Well, we should probably talk about some USC football stuff.
That would be good.
That's what we do sometimes.
Yeah.
Here on the Peristyle Podcast. Where do you want to start? Why don't we start with some of the roster turnover?
Yeah.
I touched on some of this with Harvey Hyde earlier in the week, but of course, I mean, there's been new additions to the transfer portal, a couple new declarations for the NFL. You want to start with some of the NFL guys first, or
let's start with transfer portal.
Portal.
So I was told on Sunday that Joseph Manjack was entering the portal, and he did on Monday. It was funny, Ryan. That I've just been home the whole time. Go to get more medicine Sunday night. Get a text. Manjack's going in the portal. And I was like, do I have time to break? I was like trying to get to a computer. I was like, the one time.
Look, I've been out of the house for a half an hour, and this is when it breaks.
This is just reporter luck right there. No, so Manjack entered the portal. It seems like one of those things where he was a Texas favorite. The staff that came in really liked him. And I mean, the interesting thing is we saw him in fall camp. Looked like he was on the rise.
He's good.
Everyone in my mentions was like, he was a practice favorite, and he was, but it just didn't translate as the game or as the season progressed. I put in the article that Shotgun charted, he had 11 appearances, and he had 11 games. He had 46 combined snaps, but he played a higher amount in the first 3 games, and then
he started the first game, right?
I believe so. Yeah. So it's unfortunate just because I thought he was going to be a really cool slot addition for the Trojans, but he's in the portal. And then yesterday we got word that Casey Collier the offensive linemen entered the portal. And that's something where I was told from the beginning of the 2021 season that, you know, he was just dealing with personal issues. And he was back home for a little bit at the start of fall camp. I remember Clay Helton mentioned that as well.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a continuation of that. I'm trying to dig a little bit more into that, hopefully get an update in the war room. But yeah, so, I mean, it just seemed like inevitable at this point, considering that he had missed so much time from the program. Just even, we didn't even see him on the field during practice and whatnot. And I had heard from sources that, like, the offensive line group, and specifically Clay McGuire, when he was at was the offensive line coach, was trying to kind of keep him involved in the process. But I think it was just one of those things where one thing led to another, and it's better for him to move into the portal. So some more additions there. But it sounds like that's kind of going to be it for now.
Okay.
We saw,
because, like, the school starting places and stuff.
So USC starts school, I believe, next week. And so if you look at some of the Instagram of, like, the support staff, some of the spring enrollees, new guys coming in are starting to move in. But so this is kind of, as we remind people, it's still, you're still a student athlete. It's not like the free agency where you can just go whenever.
School's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. The transfer portal, you gotta enroll at some point to a school. So this is kind of usually when the rush happens, because a lot of schools are starting their spring semesters or quarters right now. So yeah, so that's kind of the movement. But we saw
two Texas guys going into the portal. Yeah. And it's, you know, I think Collier looked like he had upside, right? I mean, he's 6'7".
Shotgun was really high on him.
300 pounds. Obviously, you got to be available. Like, availability, something wasn't quite working.
Yeah.
There was more of a culture. Culture's a big deal. There was more of a Texas kind of culture on the team, so that was sort of like something that, you know, maybe would help these guys. You know, with Manjack, though, but you watched him play. Like, you would throw balls to him that weren't good. Like, they were behind him or whatever, and he would catch them. Like, receiver's job, like what shotguns say all the time, like, catch the ball.
Catch,
like,
the ball.
He caught the ball, you know. And I wouldn't say if he didn't produce on the field. There's plenty of guys that didn't produce on the field that probably could in a better system. But so, you know, curious. I don't know if it's a thing where he just, like, yeah, I really felt more comfortable when all these Texas guys were here. This might have been a thing where Lincoln Riley wanted him to stay and he didn't want to stay. It's hard to say, but at this point, because there's going to be guys that are like, the coaching staff basically is like, hey, you're not going to play. I would have a hard time picturing Lincoln Riley coming in and go, like, yeah, I don't think you can play. Like, if you watch the practice film, like, he could probably, I mean, you would think he'd be able to play.
That's the weird thing is, I mean, I feel like, and I know Shotgun kind of mentioned this on previous podcasts, just talking to some of the coaching staff after practice at times, it seemed like they thought that Manjack's confidence had kind of dipped a little bit as the season progressed. And I hate to be that person, but part of me is like, should he have worn gloves? I don't know if that would have helped him. And, like, that's something that, like, I mean, if you train your whole life without gloves, then maybe how much will that help? But
it's not like he dropped balls in games or anything, right?
He did, though.
Was it a couple or so? Well, he didn't have that many opportunities, though.
He didn't, and that's the problem, too. But also, when he had opportunities in practice, he would also drop the ball. You could see that, like, sometimes his confidence was kind of up and down. But the source I talked to said, didn't seem surprised that Manjack was entering the portal. So I think internally, it made sense to those involved.
I think a lot of these cases, it's got to be, like, it doesn't have to be a perfect situation, but it has to be, like, really good. If it's, you know, it's a guy like Casey Collier who wasn't around practice most of the year. Like, the new staff is going to come in and, like, yeah, it's probably just better for you to go somewhere else. Like, we could potentially, you know, quote unquote, rehab you and get you back into this fold and stuff, but we could bring somebody else in. And so that's unfortunate. And, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things where sometimes the staff might not be that high on one of the players, and the guy comes into the office and is like, this is what I want to do. I think I can kill it. Blah, blah, blah. And then the staff's like, all right, stay. You know, like, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Where you sort of, like, sell yourself. You know, if your confidence has waned have waned a little, I mean, that's maybe you're not going to be able to do that. So,
yeah.
But it sounds like the initial wave of roster churn as far as transfers probably over for now.
Seems like it's over. There's always a funky one that always pops up. So we'll see for that. But it seems like the initial wave is done. But speaking of portal, portal news, portal additions. I don't know if you talked about this with Coach Harvey Hyde, but Terrell Bynum.
We have not. Yeah, we didn't talk
about it. University of Washington, 6'1", 190. he announced on Monday that he's transferring to USC. And I think that's just a good experienced body to add to the wide receiver room. Because I think you're missing that like veteran presence, obviously, which is just so interesting to say, because I just felt like USC, you would never run out of wide receivers to talk about or have that those gaps on the scholarship chart, the distribution, you know?
There was gaps, and they tried to fill it last year with Katie Nixon, and
yeah.
He caught a touchdown in the last game, but yeah. That was not a very productive year for him, unfortunately, and someone I really liked. I liked watching him when he was at Colorado and yeah. Mid-plays, but didn't quite work at USC. But now he's, you know, the lone senior on the roster. Bynum comes in from Washington, you know?
Which is crazy. Yeah, because if you look at it, the next guy is John Jackson III.
Yeah.
And obviously, Brew McCoy is a junior, but that is what it's been. No updates there. So you're looking at two upperclassmen right now with the addition of Bynum. So pretty yeah. crazy.
And John Jackson's not like he's been on the field a whole bunch, right?
But and Chris Trevino and Shaquan Spratling, if they were here, they'd say, play the man. He had good route running. He got open in practice.
Smart kid.
Yeah.
You know, like legacy.
Super nice. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's someone that you root for. You know, you want to see him do
sure.
well and just haven't had
opportunities.
Many opportunities. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but, yeah.
So three transfers in so far.
And then Bobby Haskins as well.
Yeah. So he looks like he could be the starter at left tackle from day one.
Yeah. 6'7", 295.
Going to help that offensive line room.
Which is big because, you know, we talked about it, but the big additions of having Andrew Voorhees come back, Brent Nealon come back, appears Justin Edich is coming back. He's younger, so that makes sense. And then if you fill in Bobby Haskins, the only question mark you really have is right tackle. And that's much more manageable than what we thought USC could be looking at the end of the season.
Yeah, because you had Cortland Ford and Jonah Monheim both getting starts. And
yeah.
They could compete for that spot.
Now they have a lot of experience under their belt, which is good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unfortunate during the season because you saw some of those freshman mistakes, but now it only benefits them going forward.
And Voorhees has, you know, did really well when he was playing guard.
Like, Voorhees has like 90 million snaps as a Trojan.
Yeah, he has a bunch.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Haskins coming in, you know, Bynum as well. And then Barquette, what year is he? He's a redshirt junior. So three transfers in.
Yeah.
All of them have at least 4 years of college experience, right? Or been at college for four years. So Barquette has one extra year of eligibility. The other guys, this will be their last year. And I'm sure there are going to be more.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They seem positive about the portal, if you will.
Yes.
Speaking of portal, Ryan.
Oh, something.
We haven't talked about it, but Caleb Williams. I feel like people are probably screaming wherever they're listening.
Caleb Williams.
Why are you not talking about Caleb Williams?
I've heard of that.
The name sounds familiar to you?
Hmm.
Yes?
He'd be good. If you watch Pac-12 football, he had a good day against Oregon.
Yeah.
The Alamo Bowl. Took over for Spencer Rattler, who was like a Heisman contender early in the season. Just, you know, electric ball player, and who knows now? Like he got offered from, I think, Eastern Michigan or some, I don't know, one of those directional schools that you don't really know much about.
$1 million,
like, you know,
yeah,
like that's crazy. Like NIL stuff. People are talking about. I mean, he could be the most like highly ranked player ever to go in the portal. Like he's up there. I mean, like you had guys like Justin Fields, like
it was really interesting. Sorry to cut you off, Ryan, about how OU's athletic director had a statement about him entering the portal.
Head coach, I mean, and athletic director.
Yeah. And
that's weird.
I don't think we've seen that in the portal era yet. So I think that's an interesting precedent set there. But he officially entered, I believe, on Tuesday, Monday?
Yeah, was this earlier this week?
It took a while from his announcement for him to actually officially enter the portal. But I mean, it should be interesting.
And he said he could come back.
Yeah.
It does allow you to be recruited again.
Yeah.
It allows you to make contact. And now contact's going to happen anyway, but this is now, you know, you can officially make contact. But everyone we've heard from, like when you enter the portal, like, It's like if you've ever tried to do one of those, like you see a TV commercial for like, oh, we'll get you the best mortgage rate, you know, for whatever, refi. You put your name in there. There's like, it's basically like it goes in some spam thing and like you'll get calls from like a million. Like, yeah. Hey, we'll give you this. It's like, it's not like a company. It's like a company that like sells your information to a whole bunch of other companies and they all try to call you like right away.
Like, see how much your car's worth. I heard you're in the market for new cars.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. It's just like boom, 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 boom. Like, yeah. And so as soon as you enter the portal, like you're getting calls and it's crazy. And yeah. So someone like that. And there's a lot of players we've seen enter the portal and just like announce where they're going because they like, they've already had contact and stuff. And this was a case too. Both LA schools, you know, UCLA had a real weird one too.
Yes.
Was it Dylan Gabriel? UCF quarterback announces he's going to transfer to UCLA. You sign financial aid paperwork. You don't sign a letter of intent. You sign financial aid paperwork.
Yeah.
But until you enroll, the school has to take you. You don't have to go to the school. Well, the day you're supposed to start classes.
It's crazy.
Caleb Williams goes in the portal and he goes, oh, check that. I'm going to Oklahoma.
Boom.
And so he's gone. And so he's about to enroll at UCLA and leaves.
The carousel.
That's a little bit nutty, but it's good. It's just a little nutty. So Caleb Williams, maybe go to UCLA. Obviously, Lincoln Riley at USC. There's potential there.
He tweeted a photo of him at the beach, and people are trying to like guess which beach it is.
Yes.
Figure it out.
There's SEC schools like Texas A&M and
Georgia
that have been in the mix. I mean, we did NIL's only been around since July, so this is really the first time it's actually part of recruiting.
Yeah,
and you see someone like Texas A&M get like the best recruiting class ever, and there's all kinds of rumors going around like, well, there's a reason why, because 25, 30 million went into this class. You're like, whoa. Like if stuff like that's happening, which probably is at places, it's definitely changing the game.
Oh, yeah.
This will be a very interesting one. We might know in a couple of days where Caleb Williams is going.
It would appear so, given what we talked about, enrolling.
Yeah.
Like something's got to leak.
Yeah.
As far as at least where are you going to be in spring?
Yeah. I mean, like, you could wait, but like you kind of want to be there if you can be there in the spring. So this is probably going to happen quickly. We get a million questions about what if this happens? What if that happens? And, you know, you want to do too many hypotheticals, but there's an obvious path. Caleb Williams to USC because of the Lincoln Riley impact. And if development is a big deal to Caleb Williams. It seems like it is from what the tweets and stuff that I saw.
Yeah.
Obviously Lincoln Riley's put, you know, his last three full-time quarterbacks are starting in the NFL. Two of them won Heismans and
pretty good.
One of them finished second in the Heisman race. So there's a little bit of a track record there.
Yeah. Just a tad.
And then what does that mean for
Darton Moss?
Right. Like, I mean, there's not going to, if Caleb Williams comes to USC, he's the starting quarterback. Like, I don't know how else you put it.
Yeah.
Like, he's been the starting quarterback. He's the most heralded guy that you would have on the roster. He played for Lincoln Riley. Like, he's not coming to compete and, like, I'll hold the clipboard for 2 years. Like, that's not why he would come.
Yeah. It's one thing if you're recruited in a class where you know you're going to compete versus, hey, I get to choose and I better know what I'm doing if I choose your school.
Right.
You know?
If he could start at Texas A&M next year or, if you love Jackson Dart, if you love Miller Moss, whatever it is, like my guess would be he signs with USC, he's the starter. And then the other guys are competing for backup spots. Now,
if he chooses USC.
If he chooses USC, he's coming in to be the starter.
Yes.
And
yes.
Lincoln Riley will bring him to be the starter.
But it doesn't seem like I feel like that was like the automatic train of thought when he declared for the portal. And yet it feels like rumblings. It's just not a surefire, hey, USC Caleb Williams type of thing. It doesn't seem like it, at least from I've talked to.
No, I mean, I don't know what percentage chance. I mean, there's a chance it happens, but I think there's a better chance he goes somewhere else.
Yeah, it didn't seem. You'd think if you put it on paper, like, okay, Lincoln Riley goes to USC, his quarterback enters the portal, it makes sense that by the transitive property, you're like, okay, he's going to USC, but it doesn't seem like to line up that way. So,
yeah, I mean, it could, like, I wouldn't be like shocked to be like, oh, wow, like, I never didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, college football is wonky, so who knows?
But I think it's, you know, easily could happen, but I would say there's a greater chance that it doesn't at this point. And then, you know, you have to kind of figure out what's going on with the roster. It also could have an impact on team morale, like, if you know,
yeah,
because just, you know, you're bringing someone in, but there's a lot of turnover that's going to be happening. And if, the good thing is, if you're Jackson Dart, Miller Moss, you win the backup job, you're probably playing a bunch because you're gonna be scoring 55 points a game, and you know,
yeah,
it's not gonna be one of those things where, like, oh, like, remember the talk about all the points that USC was gonna score, and like, where did that go? Like, it didn't.
That feels like a dream, a fever dream, Ryan.
From it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but the thing that's interesting to me is, either way, USC has two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster right now.
Yes.
And that seems low.
It does seem low.
So I feel like you're going to have to get a portal addition somewhere or another, whether it's right. The top portal prospect right now or someone else.
Someone else to kind of come in, the, you know, like a Mo Hassan that's filling a role.
Yeah, and we don't know Mo Hassan's status right now.
You know,
eligibility wise,
he's eligible. Like, okay. He's going to be. Yeah, he still has eligibility left. He might have 2 years left, which is okay, weird.
The COVID shirts throw me.
There's
off.
The COVID stuff. Yeah, it's, you know, he's rehabbing stuff, so he's still around. So there would be technically three. You know, but okay.
But still, it's
not. Yeah,
we saw that 1 year with Fink and JT and Keaton. It was just a rotation of injured quarterbacks. So,
yes.
Yeah. So I think USC would feel better with more.
For sure. And they could, I mean, it could be a thing where if you get a guy like Caleb Williams, obviously, okay, that's great. You're probably going to lose one of your current ones.
Yeah.
Would you bring in another guy, like a senior, like just to like help out with depth, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. Speaking of the portal, it's funny. Friend of the pod, Colin Cowherd, you might have heard of. People want him to come on the show. I'll talk to him. I talk to him quite a bit because he's a USC fan. He wants to know what's going on.
He's not even hiding it these days.
No, he tweeted today.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Colin.
Happy birthday.
I sent him a text. He's like responds during his show sometimes, like to ask about USC stuff. I'm like, you're in the middle of your national show. Okay. But he says,
thanks. What a subtle flex, Ryan.
No, it's just funny. He's great. I love him. Yeah. He's great. He's just like a nerd. He's a recruiting nerd. Like,
yeah.
Some people that like hate him. I'm like, do you understand how much he loves USC? Like, USC fans, like, you should love him because he talks, like, if he can't talk about USC, he will, you know, but he just hasn't been able to because,
yeah.
But he tweeted, thanks for the birthday wishes. All I want is health for my family going forward and six starters for the USC football team through the transfer portal. So, with a sunglasses emoji. So, he does, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's not even hiding it.
But he'll call me and tell me, like, okay, so it's great because Voorhees, I think he's going to play better inside. Like, he'll just talk about this kind of stuff.
Amazing.
It's so funny. It's just like, you're like a random fan just doing this.
Just a random
but
fan.
But, I mean, you know, when you do sports for a living, you lose part of that sort of fandom,
yeah,
right?
You
because you're
do.
Doing it. But like, if you're a big USC fan or UCLA fan or whatever.
Don't look at me.
They can't see where I'm looking. Then, you know, but once you cover it for a job, it's like, it's a job. Like, and you can't, people are like, oh, where's your USC gear? Like, you can't do, like, you're covering the team. You don't do that kind of stuff.
No.
Even like, I grew up a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan because they were winning Super Bowls as a kid. Like, I like the Steelers, but I'm not like, if they lose, I'm not like bummed, you know, like, you sort of lose some of that fandom. And it's funny, you know, Colin does this nationally. The one sort of sliver of fan, he's like, the one thing I've held on to is just like, I'm a USC fan. So he's like, I don't care. I'll let people know I'm a USC fan.
That's,
you know,
funny. Yeah.
His partner, Joy Taylor, you know, she's a big Steeler fan. Like, she'll talk about that. You can have something, you know, but like, if you're covering like a league or a team, it's really hard to kind of be a fan of that.
That's why Angels are like my last.
That's your thing.
Yeah, it's my last pillar of sports fandom.
Yeah. Like, Steelers are probably would be mine, but even that is just sort of like, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to explain.
It is, you know, once you do this for work as opposed to the other stuff. But yeah, so Colin's looking for more transfers in, Keeley. I don't know.
It's just interesting. And we've talked about this before, but like, I was talking to one of USC's support staffers, like recruiting guys, and they were saying like, getting talent out of the portal is kind of, if you're going to like a Marshalls or a TJ Maxx, you know, like, you see a brand name, but you're like, okay, why are you here? Like, why are you for a discount? Why are you in this type of market? And so it's kind of the same thing where it's like, okay, well, why are you in the portal? Why didn't you find success at your original home? And that's something that you have to vet. So it's not just like this vending machine of talent that you can just go out and be like, you know, you got to really do your homework and figure it out and talk to your coaching peers. But
yeah, if you're a program and you're looking for a left tackle and there's like five left tackles in there, you might not like the reason four of those five guys are in the transfer portal. You know, that might not be good for you. There's a lot of vetting, I think, that needs to go on, which was helpful. Like, that's why, like, Lincoln Riley knows exactly what he has in Caleb Williams because he coached him. Recruited him. Like, he knows what's going on. When USC brought in all those coaches that with the Texas ties, like, oh, guys that were at the University of Texas, you bring a transfer to the University of Texas, they've already approved. They've been in the locker room with them. They've been in meetings with these guys. They know, oh, that kid doesn't slack off or he doesn't, you know, show up late for class and all that stuff. If you know, like, they're not a problem and they're not going to disrupt the team, then it's way easier to recruit them. Otherwise, you have to, like, ask a bunch of people and you don't know if you're going to get the right answers. Like, oh, no, he was always on time. And then you realize, like, no, he doesn't show up for these
things. Please take him off the roster. Please take him.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that.
Yeah. No. So we'll see. And speaking of Texas guys.
Okay.
Look at that transition, Ryan. We haven't had an official announcement from Keontae Ingram.
No.
But we did see a tweet from the NFLPA Bowl, the Collegiate Bowl, that Keontae Ingram was added to the roster, which thus means that he is ending his college eligibility in that sense. So he's moving on to the next level, which was expected. I did hear from a source early on towards the end of the season that he was a little torn just because of the addition of Lincoln Riley and was leaning a little bit more than you'd expect for a guy like him, a running back especially. But this means that he does leave for the NFL. So good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to Keontae Ingram. I mean,
super fun to cover.
Yeah, I wish he could have got to the 1,000-yard.
I know.
That would have been a nice milestone for him.
9-1-1. 9-11.
He didn't 9-1-1, yeah.
I didn't mean to say that, but that's the yards that he finished with because he didn't play against Cal.
Yeah.
He did show up, but he didn't play, so.
He didn't have that many fumbles, right? He might have had one or two or something during the year. It definitely wasn't a problem.
Well, he was the vet that I think USC needed. And of course, the coaching staff love Avi Malapai, but he was a guy who, when he was healthy, he really shined and helped out USC. I mean, we talked about more about USC's run game in 2021 than its anything passing else. Game, which is crazy in a modified air raid. But yeah.
No, they basically were like, run the ball. Yeah. And they were doing that. And
imagine saying that in 2020, because that was an issue.
He was a big part of that. I felt bad, too, because when he got it in a groove and he was getting like the 100-yard games and stuff, they took him out like red zone sometimes, and Vavai Malapai came in for the touchdowns. And so got a few touchdowns vultured away from.
What was really cool is seeing the bond between Vavai and Keontae.
True.
You know, they had a strong bond. And I mean, like, who's going to hate Vavai Malapai? He's just like one of the nicest guys.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. So, but they really like rooted for each other and cheered each other on, which is cool to see considering that, you know, Keontae was another vet who came in and actually stole reps from Vavai. So, but they had a cool bond. So that's at least cool there.
And he had the best, like, maybe practice moment when he looked at Chris Trevino about the weather
in South Bend,
and just that became
some TikTok fame off
TikTok,
of that.
Yeah, that was crazy. Like the amount of views that thing got.
Follows the Peristyle on TikTok, Chris Trevino. It's his baby.
Yeah, he's doing it. I started it, but Chris is like,
oh, it's his thing.
Yeah, he loves it. I was like, hey, we can get like an intern to help. Like, no,
it's mine.
Yeah, he'd watch it. Like, Chris, you already do too much. Like, stop. You don't do it anymore.
The workhorse. Yes.
So there's that. Was there any other NFL?
No.
I mean, Drake Jackson made it official. He had signed with an agent, but he made it official. Yeah, there was some tweet, Keontae Ingram. I think it was Keontae's tweet that got deleted or something, or maybe it was someone else had a tweet deleted, but that was weird. When Chris Trevino originally like retweeted it out. He retweeted a tweet that got deleted. I forget where it came from, I think it was
the PA Bowl.
Oh, it wasn't. They just like reworked
the
tweet.
Retweeted it. Yeah, so weird. But yeah, and then ITS also declared for the NFL draft.
Oh,
put that in the war room. So it probably like it was expected to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because always on the last game of the season, you kind of look at you observe, you watch what guys are doing with the scene, you know, and he really had a long moment on the field and really took it all in. And that usually is a sign.
Good indication. Talanoa Hufanga did that.
Yeah, Talanoa Hufanga did that. Adoree did that. You know, it's just a thing where they. It's hard to hide that you're really like taking in the final moments of your collegiate career. So,
yeah. Doesn't look like we'll see it anymore. I mean, I guess like an Isaiah Polamau is still out there. He was the one that I think that had that moment with Talanoa.
He did. Yeah, because they both were at the underneath the goalpost after the Pac-12 championship game.
And Polamau is the team captain and stuff. His unfortunately, like his tape isn't that great for the sticking up the season. He seemed to be someone that lost confidence too.
Yeah.
So if he sticks around, we'll see if this coaching staff can kind of help him, because obviously he's a talented kid.
Yeah.
See sort of what happens there. But everyone else, like, it doesn't seem like there's anyone else that would really want to go pro at this point. I mean, we think those offensive linemen are all going to be back. You know, definitely could be some more transfers. You know, like a, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Brew McCoy. You mentioned him.
Yeah.
Like Keaton Christen, you know, got his appeal was granted, and, you know, he was going to be able to rejoin the team like a year sooner than they thought possible. It was supposed to be the end of 2022. And then I think they changed it to the end of 2021, but then he went in the transfer portal right after that anyway. So
yeah,
he was like, peace out. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with like Brew McCoy, but there'll definitely be some more, you know, roster turnover. But we might be, like you said, a little bit of a lull for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see for sure. It'll the last kind of newsy part will happen for like the next couple of days, just because of enrollment period and whatnot.
Yeah.
We'll see there.
Coaching staff. Should we kind of go
coaching
over
staff,
some of
yeah,
that stuff?
I mean,
what real quick, the, do you remember? So, Bruce Feldman tweeted today before we recorded that running backs coach Mike Jenks is joining Dana Holgerson's staff at Houston, but it's an off-field role. It's not even like a full-time assistant coach thing. Some of the jobs that the former USC coaches are getting are not exactly, certainly not moves up and not lateral moves either. They're all, you know.
It's a little revealing.
Yeah. I mean, Clay Helton going to Georgia Southern, that's like, obviously that's a huge step down for being the head coach at USC.
Yeah.
Strength coach, why am I blanking on his name?
Bobby Steiner.
Like, he's following Clay Helton there, which he seemed like a really good assistant. You know, he was an assistant strength coach at Notre Dame. Seemed like a promising future, but I don't know. It might not be fair. It's probably not fair to him coming into like a, you know, head coach is fired two games in.
Yeah, you have 1 year.
Not even 1 year. You have two games with the guy that hired you.
Well, yeah, but just as far as developing guys, quick time frame there.
So he goes there. I mean, you could argue like Clay McGuire might have got the best landing spot so far. Like he, Washington State offensive line coach.
Yeah.
The offensive line did pretty well. That's as close to a lateral move. It's a little step down, obviously, but, you know, it's
given his skill set, though, is it? Like he's trained in.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as like you went from USC's offensive line coach to Washington State.
Sure.
But it's not, you're still in a Pac-12, you know, like.
Yeah.
Who else is out there that. You know, I think like Nivar went to SMU, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Texas guy. Like, that's, I love Nivar. Like, he's good. He's someone I would still keep in touch with or whatever, hopefully. But he was great. We were talking to him at like one of the last practices. And I forget what he said. He said something really funny about, I can't remember what it was, but he's just a really great guy.
He'd always make fun of me for being an Angels fan. A lot of baseball talk.
Oh, he loves baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loved the Astros and shotgun, you know, obviously love the Braves.
Yeah.
I don't think we've heard Orlando.
Everyone wants to know about Harrell.
Yeah, Graham Harrell. I don't think we've heard that.
No.
Thought that Keaton Slovis might wait and follow Harrell somewhere, but obviously he chose Pitt, which.
What are your thoughts about that?
No, I think it's good. I think a change of scenery is going to be good for him. Obviously, it's a, you know, the offense worked well. You know, Cody Pickett had a huge, huge, huge year. You know, that's it's a defensive minded coach, but you know, Narduzzi, but they've seemed to get things working on offense when you have a quarterback that can do that well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ACC I think is pretty wide open right now. Clemson doesn't look like they're the beast that they've been. So yeah, I think there's some potential there. You know, we'll see. You wish him the best. I think he needed a change of scenery.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Is there anyone else like on staff that like landed someplace cool that you think is
cool
or whatever, like notable?
No, I don't think so.
Top of my head, I'm not thinking
not
of anything
that
else.
I can
I'm sure
remember.
I'm blanking on somebody. Yeah.
I'm trying to keep track of the new staff.
Right.
That's
which is
been
more
a
important.
Rotation as well.
But it's just kind of telling. And this is sort of a precedent. I mean, like just sort of setting it up for the new staff. Cause when something happens, like a coach appears to be coming to USC and he goes somewhere else and fans are like, oh my God, that's the worst thing ever. It's like, well, here's what you're used to. You're used to the guy that was coaching at USC now being coached at Georgia Southern. Like that's not equivalent. If Lincoln Riley hires someone and it doesn't work out, he's going to hire someone else that's just as qualified, not someone that would be at a MAC like school. He would get someone that would be at another Power Five school. And that's what's going to be happening. So I just sort of like set it up like, just understand the staff that you had where people are sort of like, oh, Clay Maguire, like he was pretty good. I'm like, yes, you loved Clay Maguire because he was actually pretty good. Like, you're USC. You should be hiring better than pretty good all the time.
Yes.
And so that's what you're going, you know, Nick Saban has had so many staffing changes, but all he does is keep hiring really good people.
Yeah.
Clay Helton just didn't do that. He didn't hire really good people. And Dylan McCullough was like maybe one of the best out of the blue hires he had. It stayed for 1 year and then like you never tried to repeat that.
Yeah.
So I would just say, you know, calm down a little bit because Lincoln Riley has a track record of making good hires. I think he's already brought in a whole bunch of good hires.
Yeah.
And if you had to replace somebody, you could argue you bring in somebody better, you know? So, yeah. So I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Yeah. Well, I see what you're doing there, Ryan.
What am I doing?
Are you setting up our next topic?
Yes.
We got to talk about some new moves. They're not official yet. And none of the moves have been official yet besides who Lincoln brought with him to the Cal Week practices. But seems like they've found a replacement for Choice and for Jamar Cain.
Yeah. So, like the thread we talked about, Chris Trevino is doing great jobs as far as updates go. I don't know if you want to go the offensive line first. We could do that.
Yeah. So it looks like
Josh Henson.
Henson. Yeah. So they picked him up from Texas A&M. I almost had a Southern accent there. Texas A&M.
Texas.
That was not intentional. So any thoughts about Josh?
This is one of those things where you could argue is an upgrade over what
Beedenbaugh?
They well, Beedenbaugh, I mean,
in theory,
I think it could be on par with Beedenbaugh, but now I'm blanking on the other guy that they had potentially hired. And so this looks like he's, you know, resume wise is better, you know. It's one of those things where if it's going to work out and you've recruited at a high level and you can be the co-offensive coordinator and all that, you feel good about where USC's been. I think this was probably maybe the most important hire or one of the most important hires because USC's done such a poor job recruiting on the offensive line, coaching on the offensive line. That's where they've made the most mistakes, you could argue. Just years of like, why is that guy there? Like multiple years of a guy that shouldn't be coaching in Power Five coaching there.
Yeah.
Multiple years of a guy coaching sort of like out of position, like a different offense than what you were initially running. And then finally going the right direction in the last year. He seems like he's the right direction right now. So he he was at Oklahoma State, Missouri, been Texas A&M since 2019. So
yeah, he was at Oklahoma State from 2016 to 2018.
Apparently, he's been a recruiting coordinator. A lot of good things, I think, here. So I think USC fans are going
to
be happy.
According to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, he's going to be the offensive coordinator as well.
Yeah, I think like...
How much do you expect Lincoln to be involved with all that as well?
I think Beedenbaugh was the same. I think there was something... So it's probably going to be a similar kind of role. I mean, I think it's Lincoln Riley's offense, but he's going to be someone that's... and a lot of this stuff is going to be titles and stuff too. Like if you want to get somebody, you know, you might have to give them a new title. And that's just the way they are. Like,
no, that makes sense.
At some point there's going to be like everyone's an associate or assistant head coach or like, you're like,
How
many VIPs can you, VPs can you have? Like,
sure.
Used to be just like, there's a president, the vice president. No, there's like 50 VPs in big companies now. Cause you're like, I'm a VP. Like, well, so is everybody. Like, but no, I, this is one of those things where, you know, Texas A&M had good offensive line play. He's a really good recruiter. I think it's going to fit the kind of system that you're going to want. Like, it just seems to check all the boxes of what you'd want.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's.
He's highly regarded.
Like, yes. Yes.
He's someone that other people would want. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Like, if Washington or Oregon could have hired him, like, this would be like, they're, you know, oh, we'd love to hire someone like that.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, how are you going to get the Texas A&M guy? Like, Texas A&M just had like the number one class in the world, you know? They're in the SEC. They beat Alabama this year.
Yeah.
you go get there. Get their guy. Like that's
yeah, something, which know. Is like your third option.
Yeah, and you're in the ring with other heavyweights. You know, if you hire a running back coach and he gets hired away by Texas, or you hire an offensive line coach and he gets hired away by LSU, you're in the ring with heavyweights. Like these are yeah. like, you know, and they gave him more money or they gave him a different title. It's like, yeah, this is going to happen, you know, but yeah. what are you going to do? I'm going to go steal somebody else's guy. Not, I'm going to find somebody that no one knows about. Like, no, USC shouldn't be doing that. They should just be like, who's the best at this position? I'm going to try hire him away, try yeah. him away. Like they're going to poach you like that. USC got poached and USC has been poaching. So yeah. it's just, you're fighting with the heavyweights right now. Yeah. And that's where you want USC to be. Like, yeah. be in the ring. You're going to lose some. You're going to get punched a few yeah, times because yeah. you're in the ring with the heavyweights now.
The issue is not that you're getting poached. It was who USC was replacing guys with. And now, as the point that Ryan's trying to make, the quality of replacements is much higher than what we've seen in the Clay Helton era.
Yeah.
And speaking of choice, it sounded like it was also a family thing. Going back to Texas.
Yeah, I think there's part.
So I think that, and the feeling I got too was like, these things just happen. Like, it's still like, they're still humans. They still have personal lives yeah. and family and stuff like that. So it's not always just, you know, this school is better than that school and X, Y, and Z, you know?
Right. It's a better situation for you as a person, as a coach, yeah. as a player, or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't mean this kid picked, you know, someone picks Auburn over Alabama. It doesn't mean Auburn's a better program. This is better for that person, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's the same sort of thing here.
Yeah, so it seems like based on his Twitter account, USC has picked up Keel McDonald from Utah. He was Utah's running backs coach. He penned a goodbye to Utah fans and has a lot of Trojan signs and things on yeah. his. He's retweeting a ton of USC stuff, so that seems like all
yeah,
points.
Yeah, it's like the USC logo is his like avatar yeah, on yeah. Twitter or whatever. I don't know if I...
Yeah, if you're reading the very large tea leaves, it appears that he's going to be the next running backs coach for USC.
Yeah, his bio says RB coach of the Boulevard, which yeah. you know, USC's like NIL thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. So coached Zach Moss, who's Utah's most successful running back in the program. Seems like a good fit. It seems like he was well-regarded at Utah.
Yeah. Look how the way Utah runs the ball. I mean, that's like there's different ways you can evaluate coaches when you're being hired and stuff, right? There's different things you could do. You look at the success. Sometimes it's like, oh, he ran the offense at this place. Well, he was the offensive coordinator, but he didn't run the offense. This guy called the plays. You know, there's things like that happen. You know, the running back coach, it's like, you know, maybe the offensive line is amazing, but they've just consistently been able to run the football. But the other aspect is, and I think Alicia Deratola touches on this, like, look to see what the other fan base is saying. Yeah. You know, so yeah. if you're Georgia Southern and you're excited that Clay Helton is the new head coach, go, hey, won a Rose Bowl, won the Pac-12, all that stuff. Are the fans bummed that he's leaving? No. No, it's different because you're talking about USC and you're talking about a Sun Belt team.
Sure.
But in this case, or in the case of Texas A&M, if you look at the message boards on Utah or with the Aggies, no one's happy that those coaches are leaving. They're like, oh no, he recruited this guy. He recruited this guy. He did, like, read those. And then you go like, okay, you're hiring someone away that was highly sought after, that was well-liked by the, because he did a really good job.
Yeah.
And I think with McDonald here, Gil McDonald, like, he did a really good job coaching, recruiting running backs there. Now, sometimes you're going to get some sour grape stuff like, well, he did this or blah, blah, blah. Sure. It was really this guy. Which is more of a, if you're seeing excuses like that, that's even better. Like, what is Oklahoma fan? Like, the Oklahoma fan things have baffled me because every interaction I've had with Oklahoma fans has been great. I know the people that run those sites well and stuff, but holy cow, like, there is some bitter breakup stuff going on
yeah.
there. And you just want to say, like, look, this doesn't look good. If you're going to be, like, if your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever breaks up with you, and you start dating somebody new, and all you can do is talk about your ex, like, that doesn't look good. Like, if your Brett Venables, like, hey, man, I was, like, the most sought-after assistant coach in the country. Like, you made the biggest assistant coach hire you possibly could make. You know, like, no one wanted – like, people wanted Brett Venables to be their head coach for a long time. And he said, no. And then you got him. Like, this is a huge deal that you hired this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you lose Lincoln Riley, who had great success. But you're Oklahoma. You can move on and do the good things. If all you're talking about is Lincoln Riley still, it's like, what do you think Brett Venables thinks about that? Like, hey, yeah. hey, I'm here. Like, I'm, you know, shadow, I'm not chopped liver, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just so weird that people would go there and just be that upset about stuff. But that tells you, okay, did USC do a good thing hiring Lincoln Riley? Yeah, they are pissed off that he's gone. Like, yeah. they are not. Now they're saying, like, he sucks or it was like, sure. Like, that's what you're saying because you're trying.
He sucks and why are you so mad?
Exactly. Like, that's the thing. So the whole point about these assistant coach hires is just look where the kid, like the kid, where the guy came from. And are they going, oh, thank God. Like, his salary was so big and he never did anything recruiting. Like, if somebody hired Clancy Pendergast away, like, in the middle of Clay Helton's tenure, would USC fans be going, oh, no, like, what are we going to do with recruiting? Like, no, like, he doesn't recruit. Like, you'd be like, oh, well, maybe we won't give up, like, third and 18s anymore to the opponents. Maybe we'll actually recruit people. So if people were going to hire away some of the assistant coaches from USC, outside of, like, Cliff Kingsbury, no, you're not going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Utah fans, not super happy. That he's gone.
Also, I have a lot of respect for Kyle Whittingham. And so to poach a coach who's learned under him as well, I think is valuable. And then the other one is Sean Nua, the defensive line coach from Michigan.
Yeah.
Apparently is going to be the replacement for Jamar Cain. So.
Yeah, Nua, that's an interesting one.
Apparently had a hand in multiple going to be first round draft picks. So we'll see. But the interesting thing too, as well, the coaches are coming from schools that are either still playing or just played in a bowl game.
Yeah,
like teams that are playing like late December, January football, and that's what you want.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, Cain's. It's hard to get the Cain's LSU. I think right.
Yeah,
Cain went to LSU. There was okay. So there was. What was the rumor? There was an offensive line rumor, but it wasn't like after Beatenbaugh, there was somebody else that was rumored. But I don't think it was like semi-official like these other like Choice and Cain were.
Oh, yes.
That's what I was thinking of. I was getting that confused. So my apologies.
I posted about it. I remember now.
Yeah. I apologize for that. So there's been so like that one wasn't like that was like sort of the rumor, but I don't think it came to be.
Yes. No, it did
was
not.
Was it Houston? It might have been Houston's.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah,
this,
no,
this should tell you how much this has changed.
It's been so crazy. And yeah. I'm usually terrible at remembering
Brandon Jones.
Stuff.
That's
Brandon
what it
Jones,
was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So like he was Houston, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So like that was the rumor. It seemed like it was going to happen and then it didn't. And you get Henson, who's better, you know, like you get someone else that's better. You know, we'll see about Nua. Like there was talk that maybe he was more of an interior guy than the ends. I don't know if that was sort of like.
But then I read more and it seemed like he had a hand in it as well.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that you can't, unless you're watching practice, you can't fully see.
Right.
You know? So.
But, you know, that's obviously, you took the defensive line coach from a playoff team.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
The winningest program of all time. I think Michigan still has the most wins. Not that that means anything, but whatever. Like, yes. Like, this is the kind of stuff, would USC have done that before?
No.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, Cain's gone. He's, you know, okay, he gets a promotion, a title, whatever, more money at LSU. All right, we'll get somebody from Michigan. You know, it's like, that's what you want. Like, it doesn't, I don't want people to be upset that, oh, you lost this guy, or lost that guy. It's like, this is how this works. If you're going to be playing, you know, you're swimming with the sharks now, and sometimes you're going to eat, and sometimes you're going to get a bite out of you too, so because you're in the pool of sharks.
Yeah. Now, like I said, it's nothing is official yet, and so I hate talking about coaches like they're here when we haven't had a release from USC yet. And also, just on the timing of that, that takes a while. Like I've had sources stress to me in the past. Like it's a higher education system.
Yeah.
Like they're being hired through a university.
It's not the NFL. Just Jerry Jones is like, yep. Here we go.
Yeah, no. There's like a lot of things that they have to go through.
Red tape, bull crap.
Yeah. And like I've even been told like there were times when, you know, people are like, why is it taking USC so long to announce something? And it was like literally because someone like copied something the wrong way. Like it's like the most like weird random reasons that you don't think would happen. But like that's what holds up these things. And like you're still dealing with HR and all this. So just wait on that sense. But Sean Nua does become USC's next defensive line coach. I think it's really a plus because he was born in American Samoa. So you establish that Pauly connection again on the staff, which USC lost. That's so big in recruiting because that culture is so strong that if you have someone who can relate to it, I think it just adds in the recruiting trail. So
no, I agree. And he played at BYU, USC's last defensive line coach. Same thing, right?
Like
Vic
Soto. Yeah.
Oh, wait, where'd Vic go? He went to
Colorado.
Colorado. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. So he's still in the Pac-12. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And I think it's good. Like people argue about that. Oh, you need a Polynesian coach. You need a Polynesian coach. And certainly I think it helps, but I feel like USC's created a good culture for Polynesian players. Like there's places, you know, obviously BYU or Utah. USC's had that for a while. And I think people feel comfortable. If you had five Polynesian assistant coaches or one or none, like I still feel like the culture's sort of set up pretty well there. Now that if you go away and you don't have Polynesian coaches for a few years, any of them, then that might deteriorate the culture a little bit. But I think they've built up a pretty good culture there where it seems like when we've talked to players, they feel comfortable playing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it seems like a good community there.
But it looks like the staff, if this is the staff, is full. There won't be like a full-time special teams. At least it doesn't seem like it at this point.
Yeah. Which, I mean, with the way that special teams is trending, I mean, I feel like we've seen it. Like we've seen dedicated special teams coaches at USC and has it really made a big difference?
Yeah.
Like enough of a difference where you want to use a spot for that?
I don't know. Before it hurt USC, but I like Sean Snyder, you know. There wasn't like anything spectacular, but it seemed like they're more fundamentally sound with him coaching special teams.
Yeah,
they never got the some of those spark plays that you were looking for.
Yeah.
If you watch the Rose Bowl, like the Britton Covey's things, like that's cool.
Well, like, Britton Covey's like 40 years old. He has an advantage in the sense that
he might be older than you.
He's been playing. I'm going to Google this. He's been playing college football longer than these people have been alive.
He was in the 2015 recruiting class.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So you're a little older than him. Probably,
Ryan, you got my hopes up. It's okay.
But you're younger than Ben Griffith.
Yeah, he's also 30 years old, Ryan. But yes,
he's like married and stuff too.
He is married. Yeah. He's married, 3 years old. It's like a Stevie T.
Oh, Stevie Cool. Yeah.
When he was the old
Tui Kulavatu.
Old married soul on the team. The
Rose living in his
team.
Car, like for
when he was in transition. Yeah.
Where he signed crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else we got to talk about?
Where are we as far as timing on this
podcast?
Oh,
we are.
Which is hilarious because we always come in and we're like, are we going to be able to talk long? And like, it's an hour and a half.
We're
later.
Almost to an hour. Yeah.
Wow.
Make sure you check out the site. There's been a bunch of scholarship offers and stuff.
Yeah. All-American Bowl on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Some top prospects are going to announce their decision.
Yeah.
Crazy last year because of 2020 or 2021, they had the like decision day All-American. It wasn't like a bowl.
Right.
But now it was like
Corey Foreman.
Foreman and Sierra Wright.
Oh, Sierra. Yeah, he did that too.
I believe it was like January 2nd. It's crazy.
Yes,
but that,
it was. Yeah, because so we did. I did the last. I guess right before the break, or like after Christmas, but before New Year's, I did a year review with Gerard, which people did not like. Well, I mean, they like Gerard. They don't want to hear about the year review. They're like, yeah. But it started with Corey Foreman, like January 2nd, like five star comes in. Like,
yeah.
So it started like on a good note, and then
on a high note,
and then things went kind of sideways,
kind of forgettable, or needed to be forgettable. If
the
you're
whole
USC fan.
But the way it ended, like you know, the way it ended, it was sort of like
you know the story. You can listen.
Right.
No, yeah.
But people are like, I don't want to review that year, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, fair, but we did it.
Sure.
I normally think we do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, let's do a year in review.
It was a good idea for someone who doesn't plan, Ryan.
I don't plan. I plan. And I did a lot of planning for
you
that.
You did a great job.
I had to go through like
did
all.
Did you make notes?
I had like pages of like
Ryan,
of dates.
I'm so proud of you.
Every date, like any kind of. Yeah, like trying to go through all the old stories of like, okay, what happened here? Yeah,
guys, this is big.
That was a big deal. And then for people to be like, I did try.
Yeah, so now he's never going to play it ever again.
I cried a little.
Oh,
no,
Ryan,
I'm just kidding. There were just some people there.
But the All-American Bowl, Saturday morning, CJ Williams is going to announce he's between USC and UCLA.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. He was once committed to Notre Dame.
Right.
So we will see about that.
Mm.
I believe there's another prospect.
Is Moss?
Cyrus Moss.
Is he announcing? I don't know. I'm a little confused.
I've lost the dates right now. Also, we've been talking about so many topics that I've a little lost track.
That's okay.
But yes.
But yeah, we should. So
the we're not the recruiting guys.
The game's on Saturday, and then I'll be in about a week and a half from now. I'm flying out to Hawaii.
Poor soul.
I know. Well, I got to cover the Polynesian Bowl.
You know, it's Polynesian. No player. One wants to do it, and you always step up, Ryan.
I have to, you know, do those things like, oh, Hawaii thing. Oh, no, USC doesn't have everyone there. I'll go anyway. That's fine.
I'll There's cover actually, the experience of the
There should bowl. Be a bunch of targets and stuff there, too. Yeah. They're probably guys that have signed. Like, that's happened in the past.
Yeah.
I think Gino Quiñones was one. Like, he's from there, you know.
Talanoa was one of them.
Talanoa. I think he maybe was there and didn't announce, or maybe announced there. I can't remember. He was someone that signed but didn't announce right away.
Okay.
So maybe announced there. Solomon Tulaipupu, he was there, like, in his boot, you know. I was like, oh, is it? Even then it was like, oh, I'll be back any day now, and then it's still not back basically. But there's been, you know, Puka Nacua, I remember doing one-on-one with him. I love that kid. He was
TBT.
he was great. There's a bunch of dudes, you know, especially anyone you're recruiting from Hawaii, it's always good to kind of to cover that. But we'll do one day. I'll be hanging out with Brandon Huffman, so we'll get all the scoop of what's going on. But
nice,
do the North Shore one day, which is awesome. The shrimp truck trips.
I went to Hawaii.
Yeah, shrimp trucks are great. So you could do. So my favorite, you get the plate lunches. Shrimp trucks, you get the spicy or the garlic shrimp.
Yeah.
So they're awesome. And then, but the North Shore is like the littered because they have the shrimp farms and stuff up there. But then, like scoop of rice, you can eat rice, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you probably can't do the mac salad.
Why?
Okay.
Is it mac and cheese?
Yeah.
We established at the start of the podcast.
Not mac and cheese. It's mac salad, macaroni salad.
No, it's still macaroni, yeah, yeah. Right?
But mac salad is so good.
It sounds good.
Yeah, but the shrimp trucks up there are awesome. So we're going to do one day up there. I think it's Kahuku High School. So it's like, I believe like where The Rock played and a bunch of guys.
Where is it on the island?
So the North Shore. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's more remote up there. It's like the Kamehameha Highway goes like all the way around. Yeah. But I love going up there. So we'll do one day up there, and then most of the other practices are in you know, the closer to Honolulu, but we're in Waikiki. I think we're next to the Players Hotel, and
nice.
They got some cool events and stuff. Like Juju was there, I think the last time I was there.
Yeah,
he was like one of the guest speakers. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
It sounds like such a fun trip. Very jealous of you. I'll get some
shoot some highlights and do some interviews and. You know,
the most Ryan Abraham
kiss some waves, whatever.
Yeah, it's the most Ryan Abraham combo ever. Travel, beach, USC football.
Yeah, I used to go.
It's like the Ryan Abraham event.
And if you go to like the Polynesian Hall of Fame is down there. Yeah, so there's, you know, a bunch of USC guys that are in that. The Troy Polamalu's.
Yeah, I did visit that because there's a little shopping center too.
Yeah, the shopping center right near. Yeah. No, it's pretty cool.
They have gluten-free crepes there. Sorry, I just had to tell you.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was a big deal. I haven't had a crepe in like a decade.
Those Hawaiian ices things. You can
shave
get
ice.
Shave ice. Yeah.
So good.
I love the plate lunches stuff. They're good. And like poke, like just poke.
See, I'm not. Yeah.
A raw face person.
I wish I was, but I'm not.
That's gluten free. You could eat all
that. I know.
It's so good.
I know.
I love fish, going fishing or whatever. but I used to go to it was the Army All-American Bowl every year in San Antonio, but like you would be spending New Year's Eve in San Antonio. And, you know, the Riverwalk's cool.
No offense to anyone from San Antonio.
Chris Trevino's got family and stuff there. Yeah. No, it's cool. Like, I liked it, but there's like, you can go to the Alamo, but you've done that. And I've been on the Riverwalk like a billion times. So it's like, there's only so many times you can spend New Year's Eve there. But I think it's moved now. It used to be, I was talking to someone about this. It used to be crazy when coaches could come.
I've heard some stories from you guys.
So it was like the dead period ended on the day of the All-American Bowl, which was usually like the Saturday after. And it would always play like early. And then like the NFL playoffs would be like right after, like the wild card round or whatever would be right after. Or what, I don't even know if it was that. But the after the game, coaches used to be able to come into the lobby of the hotel. Sark, when he was at Washington, had a bus decked out in Washington, like wrapped in Washington crap and like pulled out in front of the hotel. Everyone would have like, you know, they would have suites in the hotel room and like, it was crazy. I remember talking to like Joe Mixon. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He was like a junior. Like he wasn't even like a senior. And like him telling me which coaches were talking to him, and they were not supposed to because he wasn't even a senior, you know, like So he was like an under, you know, he was an undergrad. But they had like combines and stuff they would do. Or he might have been playing in the game. They had some juniors play, I think. I forget exactly. Or he might have just been with the combine. But super cool kid. Like USC was recruiting him and stuff too. But yeah, I remember him telling me stories in the lobby. Like, yeah, this guy's talking to me. This guy's talking to me. I'm like, is that legal? I don't think it is. But it was a really interesting way to interact with players. Now you can't do that stuff anymore. But it was pretty fun back in the day.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Pretty good crazy.
This is an old story.
Nice.
Joe Mixon was on my fantasy team this year. So it's funny. Like, some kid I talked to when he was 16, he's on my fantasy football team now.
Yeah. Amon Ross St. Brown, can we just have a moment? The man.
He came in big, especially if you're a playoff, if you're in the playoffs in your fantasy league. Like, oh, he's someone to pick up.
Carried. Fourth round draft pick. Just want to remind everyone.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Goff seemed to find a connection with him later in the season. So
I mean, the man was a professional from the like freshman PRP that we saw.
Yeah,
like you just looked at the field and you're like, that kid is different.
He was different.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
good for him. We congratulate him.
Yeah,
I didn't see how he did last week, but it seems like every week he
set
100
some,
yards and a touchdown.
He set some new thing.
He did some new thing. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Good for him.
Yes.
All right. Well, why don't we take a break because we just rambled on for a while. And we'll come back and answer a few questions. We only have a few, but we'll back for that.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle podcast. We've got a few questions. Please send them in, podcast@uscfootball.com, or send us a text, 424-254-9141 is the number. You can leave us a voicemail as well, and we'd be happy to answer your questions.
So that horrible outro that we had, I looked it up during the break, the long break that we had. Lions wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown is the first rookie in NFL history with at least 8 catches in 5 straight games.
Oh, very cool for him.
Yeah, so congrats to him.
I told a friend of mine to pick him up. Like, she needed someone in her fantasy league. I'm like, pick up St. Brown. And she did. And like, he was like 120 yards, touchdown, something like that.
Look at that. So we got a question from Steve who said, when a player enters the portal, what is the departing team's liability to keep their old scholarship or position on the roster open? Or is it assumed that they are released from the obligation the minute they enter, and then a negotiation if they decide to exit the transfer portal and return?
All right, Steve. So I think from what you're saying here, and just keep in mind, football's a headcount sport. Like, you basically have to be at the 85 limit. It's like end of July, early August. Like, that's when the sort of transition happens. So it's not like the ride goes away or you can give it away like in the middle of the season or whatever. He would still be counting until, you know, if you were on the team in September, you're on it till the next, like you're on the books until the next August or whatever. If you leave, you know, you can sign people early and have them take spots and things like that. But as far as like liability, like we mentioned earlier in the show, if you transfer someplace and you sign, like Dylan Gabriel did, sign financial aid paperwork, you are not obligated to go to that school. But then once you're there, you're enrolled, now you're there. But the school would need to keep you. If you enter the transfer portal, the school can say sayonara. And Clay Helton was keeping an open door. So someone who went in the portal,
Matt Fink
did, came back. Valus Jones did, came back, then left again. Did Liam Jimmins or no?
No.
I think there's one or two other people that like left and then they end up coming back. And it's up to the head coach though. But once you enter the portal, they don't have to take you back, is my understanding. I think Utah, I think David Shaw was doing that too, where like if you go into the portal, you're out. Like goodbye. And I wouldn't fault head coaches for that if you want to have some kind of conversation about, well, here's a reason why we want that to happen or whatever. But as far as that stuff goes, yeah, you're out. It's like you're, you know, hey, I want to see other people, but I might want to get back together. Well, if the original partner doesn't want to get back together, I get it, you know, and they're going out and they can be recruited, they can take visits and things like that. So it's really up to the school. Once you enter the portal, I don't think they have to, my understanding is that they don't have to bring you back, but a lot of coaches, maybe the majority, I'm not sure, are definitely open to it. Now, there might be some players that are like, you didn't want there anyway. And once they enter the portal, like, yep, you're not coming back. But we've seen a lot of it. The evidence is there's a lot more players in the portal than there are openings on rosters. And I think a lot of people went to the portal and just never ended up anywhere or went down the division, or, you know, that's the tough part. There's, you see the high profile guys, but there's a lot of guys that just went to the portal and never found a home.
Yeah.
It's like the Island of Misfit Toys for some people.
What is that from?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it was for the Rudolph one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Rudolph gets, he's an outcast and he goes to the Island of Misfit Toys and they're a bunch of like toys that, you know, dolls that their heads on backwards or whatever it is, stuff like that.
The rejects.
And then they realize, you know, Santa, you know, Rudolph saves Santa and then he finds homes for the misfit toys.
Oh,
you know, it's all,
oh,
it's
nice.
A, I don't want to do a spoiler alert. Sorry.
Spoiler alert.
I believe so. I might have that
it's,
all
it's
wrong.
It's post Christmas, so
yeah,
it's okay.
I didn't see that one.
We got an email from Michael T. Jennings who said, hello, Ryan, Keeley, Shotgun, and cousin of the pod, Chris Trevino. So basically, he said he's a longtime listener, so thank you very much. And he's a huge USC fan. He's been going to games with his dad since he was 2. And he said, do you guys see any traditions that were put on the back burner or let fade away under Clay Helton and his predecessors coming back with Coach Riley, and or any new traditions forming under him? He says, I live in North Carolina now, so I don't get to see much of the team anymore or hear about the traditions and culture. Hoping to make it to a game next year now that we have a head coach. I haven't been back since we lost to Oregon in 2012. Fight on, Michael T. Jennings.
Hey, Michael. If you're looking for like, yeah, there was this cool tradition that Clay Helton killed. Like, I don't think there was anything like that.
This is such a great question for Dan. I feel like Dan would go off on this.
He would tell you about the socks, like what color the socks are or something.
But I think in the sense that, like, if you want to go as far as to say, like, hard-nosed football or, you know, what everything we heard from the Pete Carroll era about, you know, the practices were harder than the games and stuff like that, you know, the physicality and stuff like that. I think that was something that kind of waned over the years. But
yeah. And there's things that you just can't do anymore that you could do before.
Yeah.
And that's across, I mean,
you can't do
the
Oklahoma drill.
Yeah, you can't. There's things you can't do. Now,
even the Trojan drill that we saw that spring, NCAA banned that. You can't do anything like that.
You can't do it anymore.
No.
Yeah.
So when we kept saying like, "Oh, where's the Trojan drill?" It's because they can't legally do.
They're
that
not allowed
anymore.
To do it anymore. Yeah. And, you know, there's some programs that probably would still do it, or like would stop doing it, kicking and screaming. And USC wasn't going to be one of those programs.
Well, we also were there watching, and we're going to tweet if they did it.
True,
so
yeah,
probably
that's,
doesn't
that's
help.
A good point.
Yeah,
I can't really think of anything else as far as traditions and stuff go, like
blowing out teams.
That hasn't happened.
It's not really a tradition, but
even just know. Like stuff with, I mean, there was weird things that happened, like Lynn Swann like banned the song girls from the basketball game or whatever.
Sure, but that's not. Trying to think of other things. No, I can't really think of anything really.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was open for former players to come back. I don't think that was that's something that you see sometimes where they're not really embracing the past. I don't think Clay Helton avoided that or anything. And Lincoln Riley seems to have embraced that too. I mean, just having like Matt Leinart at his announcement and, you know, mentioning guys like that.
Yeah.
I don't Michael, I can't think of really anything that just sort of like stopped because Clay Helton was the head coach. The winning, but does.
I mean, I did write about this in my article about Dante Williams when he first took over as interim. But like, you know, things like, you don't walk on the logo in the locker room. That's something that Dante Williams tried to re-involve, you know, putting the stanchions around it and whatnot, and that kind of faded it away as well because the season ended up how it did. But I think just overall, and this is like the general thing I heard from players and whatnot, it's just like the respect of the logo. Like, who are you playing for? You're playing for SC, and I think, and we saw this under Sark too, so I don't want to lump this just under Helton, but kind of the me playing for me versus us. Yeah. And I've heard that from like different levels of the organization. So I think if Lincoln Riley can get that back together, where the brand itself and the pride of who you're playing for, put meaning back into that, because I think that definitely has been lost a little bit.
Yeah. We talked about Colin Cowherd earlier. I was watching his show earlier today. He had an NFL reporter on, I forget his name, but one of the things they were talking about, and I think it might have been with like Jim Harbaugh, he potentially could go back to the NFL. He's like, one of the constants is in a football locker room is the culture. And we've seen some changes with the Patriots over the years, but they've established a culture, and it's a winning culture. And even if you have Cam Newton, over the hill Cam Newton as your quarterback, you're still going to win some games. Or you get a rookie Mac Jones, you're still going to win games. Or you have a Hall of Famer GOAT like Tom Brady, you're going to win games. But the culture, I think, is something that you might not be able to say. Like, there's the Patriot way, right? Like, people do things a certain way.
Yeah.
Winning, losing cultures, like, it's hard to really quantify it. But you could just tell from the way USC was and when Dante Williams took over, like, hey, this culture sucks, we need to change it. Like,
yeah.
He wasn't talking about changing the culture because it was great, we need to tweak it. It was like, this has deteriorated so bad. And yeah. That's what I think has to be consistent. And then if Lincoln Riley can establish that, and he establishes a winning culture. I mean, Urban Meyer doesn't really work in the NFL. There's things he had problems with in college, but he could establish a winning culture. Nick Saban obviously has been doing it. He's lost every assistant coach you could possibly get. Everyone from his staff has been hired and promoted and gone somewhere else. And he's competed against them for years and years and has a great track record against it. But he's created this culture. He's the thing that makes that go. And it doesn't matter how many assistants you lose. It doesn't matter how many guys go in the first round. That culture is going to continue to be executed at a high level. You might not win a championship every year, and you won't, but you're going to be competing for it. And you're going to be close.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what the tradition has to get back to. You can't say, like, here's what happened with the culture was bad. There was a great culture under Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
There wasn't as great of a culture under Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. And you hope that Lincoln Riley can establish that again. So if you lose your defensive coordinator, or you lose your offense, you know, whatever, your offensive line coach, and your guy goes pro early or opts out for the seat, whatever it is, the culture is good enough that there's players ready to step up. There's other coaches you can hire. The culture you've established is winning, and you lose pieces to it, but the overall culture stays the same. And I think that's the tradition that you want to get back to, because they had it under Pete Carroll. Yeah. It just hasn't been the same since.
And in the same vein, being the pinnacle of West Coast football, you know,
yes.
It was like, if you're talking about the West, you're talking about USC football. You know, you're not talking about the Oregons or the Utahs or whatnot. It was just like, oh, Pac-12 championship. Yeah, of course. USC won that. You know, that was their brand. It was just like, it's USC and everyone else. And whether that is just a relic of the Pete Carroll era in the past, we'll see going forward. But I know USC fans would like to reestablish that. So
100%. And there would be, oh, remember that one year they shared the title with Washington State or whatever? Like, that's the kind of stuff you want. Not like, remember that year you finished 4-8. Like, there's like that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So one final email, and it's from Dan, class of 1962, who says, greatly enjoyed. See, there we go. Here's one person who did. Greatly enjoyed the recap of the year in detail with Gerard. So your work paid off, right?
Thanks, Dan.
I hope that Keely and you had a good holiday vacation. Thank you. I was sick for most of it, but thank you. Anxious to hear Ryan's report from the Polynesian Bowl. Look at that. It's like he was sitting in the office with us. While the bowl season was underwhelming because of the irrelevance of the bowl season nationally, ESPN is becoming the SEC publicity network, and unless your team is in a bowl game, the bowls are totally uninteresting, especially with the key players opting out of most bowls. UCLA avoided a loss to Wisconsin by just not playing. Without all of the conference champions in the playoffs like is done in March Madness, the playoff is more of a beauty contest than a true national championship. nationally, it's fun to root for underdogs, not the same old, teams who have been recruiting advantage and being hyped by ESPN constantly. What are your opinions about the Bulls and the playoff for the national championship? Happy New Year. Fight on and win with Riley, Dan, class of 1962.
Hey, Dan. Real quick, UCLA avoided losing to Miami, but that was a toss-up game. Miami's the one that opted out of that, and they didn't get a... Yeah. Wisconsin beat Arizona State.
For some reason, NC State? Am I...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Okay. Washington State was supposed to play Miami.
Okay.
And then they got to play Central Michigan. UCLA was supposed to play NC State, and UCLA backed out of that one. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, COVID issues.
COVID, yeah. But Washington State got the game remade, but Washington State was supposed to play Miami. They dropped out. Central Michigan comes in.
Did you see that Central Michigan, because they won, got like $2 million compared to, like, they were supposed to get $200 million if they went to a bowl game.
$200,000 probably. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. This is the end of the podcast. That's okay. But they got a ton more money just because of the COVID reschedule.
And they won.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's
they
crazy.
Shut out Washington State the first half. Like, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Washington State was like a 7.5-point favorite and lost that one. Yeah. So sorry. But it wasn't going to be Wisconsin. Wisconsin beat Arizona State. They just strangled them.
Yes.
They had a, I think, like 18 play, 9 minute and 53 second drive to end the game. Like the last, like they get the ball with 9:53 left and ran the clock out. Like didn't even score.
So that day, I think, was just like back to back bowl games. And I was just sick. And so I was watching it I was watching every game the whole day. And then that game started at like 7:30. And so I was just sick and I was tired. I was going to bed. And like last thing I saw before I went to bed was just all these tweedlers that was like, not like this Arizona State. No, like everyone was, I was like, okay, Arizona State had to do, like did something bad. So yeah, it was funny to see.
They couldn't stop them. Yeah. I still like the Bulls and I feel like players like them. I'm not going to worry if players opt out. If you want to opt out, that's fine. But these are great opportunities, I think, for, you know, COVID years are tough. Like, you're not going to SeaWorld or whatever. You know, there's cool stuff you could do. You get some swag. You get to play again. You get to play an unfamiliar opponent. And the ratings are good. Like, the people are saying there's too many bowl games and stuff. Like, no, I want more. Now, I love just watching bowl games. New Year's Day was so fun, like, watching all that stuff.
Yeah.
Turning games on and just, you know, the Rose Bowl was awesome.
It was so good.
I mean, the Pac-12 was PU.
I was rooting for Utah in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
it sucked to see Cam Rising go out.
I know he was such a stud. That's tough, you know. But I don't have a problem with it. I think ESPN, they own, I think, like 41 or 42 bowls, and there's like all but three or four they broadcast. But then they put so much emphasis on the playoff, and apparently they were going to try to do that less this year. But they've diminished the bowls. To somewhat, you know, they're it's like, you know, but people still watch the Bulls. Like, you want to see more college football because you love college football, you know. There's some bad games. There was some, you know, just awful, like that Wisconsin Arizona State game wasn't that fun to watch, you know. Just there wasn't a lot going on there. Unfortunately the Washington State game, and they didn't even score a point. They had like 240 yards in the game against Central Michigan. Like, that wasn't that fun to watch. They made a flurry at the end and tried to come back and didn't do it, but I still like watching these bowl games. And like, New Year's Day is way fun. If anything, the playoffs kind of sucked. Like, they're both blowouts.
Yeah.
I forget how many playoff games there have been. There's been like 20, and like 17 of them have been blowouts. You know?
Yeah.
That's not so good.
So here's an interesting thing, and I know we're at the end of the podcast. I'm sorry.
No.
Do you think the time to prepare with the playoffs kind of like eliminates a competitive advantage that normally you have in the regular season? Because like, when you have that long to prepare, does it really just come down to talent level, roster star level, you know?
I think it puts more emphasis on the coaching staff. I mean,
yeah.
Nick Saban is really good. If you have the more time he has, the better.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's like if you and I are playing poker and you're a better player than me and I play 10 hands against you, I might win 7 of them. If I played 100 hands against you, you're probably going to win more than I win because you're better. You're skilled. There's luck involved. You give Nick Saban 3 weeks and you give Clay Helton 3 weeks, like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, who's going to get their
or a whole offseason?
Like, that's what, you know. So I feel like the best coaches, when you have a long layoff, are going to have an advantage.
Sure. Yeah. And in that sense, do you think it would be more fun to have the playoff earlier. Kick the early signing day out of the picture.
That has to go.
Kick it out. You have the playoffs happen like December 15th, whatever.
I think that's good. I want to see an expanded playoff.
Yeah.
And you're going to get better games because like teams like Alabama and Georgia will get a bye, right?
Yeah.
So we don't need to see them right away.
Yeah.
But it would be fun to see like if Utah was in it, like they're playing really well. Like
yeah.
Utah, Ohio State, if that was like the first round of the playoffs, like neither of them made it. But if that's like the, you know, 11 seed versus yeah. 7 seed or something,
sure.
that would be an awesome. Like,
yeah.
Because, and do you want to play either one of those teams? Like you see CJ Stroud throw for 7,000 yards? Like, okay. Or Utah, like as well as they played, like then you're Alabama in the next round and you just saw somebody just, you know, in an amazing game. Like, whoa, okay. You got,
yeah.
I got to take these guys seriously. I think that would be more fun. And yeah, plays those earlier and play those right away.
Yeah. I think you would at least, it would be less blowout city USA.
Yeah. but do you like the Bulls? Like, I still like the Bulls. Like,
I mean,
you're homesick. Like, you're watching bowl games. Like,
oh, yeah, it was great. No, see, but I'm also biased because I'm working on college football Saturdays. So, like, the average amount of games I see is like either if it's like a day game or a really late Pac-12 game that we're covering, then I try and watch day games. But so the bowl season for me is like, oh, I finally get to like really just
dig in a little.
Yeah. Devour all the college football, you know? So to me, it's fun, but I also haven't been watching it morning to night.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, early on, like where you're in the, you know, the December, like post-Christmas days, there's usually like one or two bowl games a day. And, you know, I would flip through, you'd like put on ESPN and they're showing something else. I'm like, oh, this one was canceled. You know, I was like,
oh,
damn it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, the Hawaii Bowl, oh, the Hawaii Bowl's canceled.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I think the Arizona Bowl, there was five, six something bowls were canceled.
There's a lot. Yeah.
You know,
but at least we got to see football 2021.
Yeah, right.
Thankful for that.
It's better. The Pac-12 hasn't won a bowl game since the 2019 season. That's bad.
Yikes.
They only played two last year, but
was the last time USC won a bowl game?
It's a Rose Bowl,
which is just crazy.
Last time we won a bowl game. That's the last Pac-12. Like when Oregon beat Wisconsin 2019 season. That's the last bowl game the Pac-12 has won. So
wow,
I was there.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're doing the podcast of champions 1 year or like a couple years ago. My memory's terrible. And we're like, someone asked a question like, what teams would you like to see play? Like, you know, that don't get to play. And we were coming up with different, you know, for the Pac-12. And we're like, Washington and Ohio State, that would be a good one. And we're like, and then we realized later, like, they just played the Rose Bowl and I was there. Like, and whoops. One year, like, when my first trip to Utah, like 3-4 years ago, whatever it was, we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, the only, I'm like on the Pac-12 podcast with champions. The only stadium I haven't been to is Rice Eccles. I haven't been to Utah yet. They're like, wait, no, I did. I just went to this last year. Like,
I went with you to Rice Eccles.
I know, this was a few years ago.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
No, but my memory not always great. But yeah, I went the last two. Not this year, but the previous two Rose Bowls and Rose Parades. Trader Joe's got me tickets to the Rose Parade.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Look at that.
They have an awesome float. I don't know if, did you watch the Rose Parade?
No.
Yeah.
I'm a Southern California girl, but I've never been a Rose Parade gal.
Have you ever gone?
No.
It's pretty fun. Maybe we'll have to do that one time.
Can we get our own float?
I don't think we get our own float. We could cheer for the Trader Joe's one.
Okay.
That was good.
We can like make a whole float.
But they have
your
like
head.
Awesome seats, like right. I think it's on Colorado, but like, yeah, like bleacher seats, check it out. And
nice.
Like, there's, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like to see the floats and stuff. It was neat. I lived here for a long time and never had been to the Rose Parade. So 2-3 years ago, I guess I went to the two in a row and it was kind of cool.
Yeah. You sang its praises when you went.
Yeah. It was fun. All right. Well, we're like hour and a half in with the show that we thought would go 40 minutes.
This is going to be a short one. Yeah, for sure.
Not so much.
It's been a while since we chatted, Mr.
Yeah, we
Abraham.
Got to chat a little bit. That's good. Yeah. And your voice seemed to hold up.
Kind of. I apologize for the coughing.
You had a few coughs, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that was pretty good. If you saw me earlier this week, it was not great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wrap things up. That is Keely Yore. I am Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.